This is Tom Warren inviting you to consider with me the great question of the all-sufficiency of the Bible, and especially we are considering now the fact that the Bible is all-sufficient morally speaking. Every person has to decide questions as to what is right and wrong, for we all have a conscience, we all have that inner sense within us, which causes us to recognize that we ought to act in one way and ought not to act in another way. And so the question resolves itself, how can I decide what is right and wrong? And we've been deciding various ways that human reasoning has come up with, that is, human reasoning apart from the revelation of God. Of course, the Bible teaches in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, that the way of man is not in himself, it is not within man that walketh to direct his own steps. And yet men insist upon turning away from God, His Word, that is the sacred scriptures of the Bible, and simply trying to figure it out on their own. So we have been pointing out various ways that men have tried to solve this problem. And now today we take up where we left off last time, talking about the general viewpoint of hedonism. First of all, the basic division of egoistic hedonism, which means that the person relates the whole matter to himself. Hedonism meaning pleasure, ego to oneself. And so some people decide the question on what brings the greatest pleasure to me, either pleasures of the body or pleasures of the mind. There are all others, however, who say that the matter of what is right and wrong must be decided, certainly upon the basis of pleasure, they say, but not upon the basis of what simply happens to the individual who's thinking about it, but what brings the greatest pleasure to the greatest number of people. However, there are some who hold that it should be decided upon what brings the greatest sensual pleasure, and others of what brings the greatest pleasure of the mind. There is also the viewpoint called ideal utilitarianism. Utilitarianism, again related to this particular matter of what brings the greatest pleasure, is to say that X is right, is to say that X results in the maximization of good, that is, of bringing the greatest good, recognizing that pleasure is not the sole good, that there are other goods besides mere pleasure. Now, we turn to another viewpoint that is advanced by philosophers and various philosophical theologians as to how we decide what is right action and what is wrong action, what is evil and what is good. This viewpoint is resignation to the inevitable. It has to do with fate. These people say that to say that X is right is to say that X is the acceptance with resignation of whatever happens, where all that happens has been strictly determined by blind fate, and there is nothing an individual can do to alter the inevitable. In other words, just whatever happens to you, you say to yourself, well, everything has been predetermined, and there isn't anything I can do about it. And so the right thing for me to do is to simply accept it, without any kind of grumbling or any thought about changing it, because I cannot change it. Well, of course, this is absurd on the very face of it. It denies the freedom of man, as the Bible plainly teaches in Matthew 11, verse 28, when Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You see, there man has freedom. Each one of us has the power, the rational power, the ability to think, to weigh evidence, to find evidence and to weigh that evidence as to whether it warrants one conclusion or another. Does it warrant the conclusion that God exists? Does it warrant the conclusion that the Bible is the Word of God? Does it warrant the conclusion that the Bible teaches thus and so? Now, another view of moral theory is that of the positivistic view of law. And that is to say that when you say a given act is right, you're saying nothing more than to say that it's legal, that it's according to the law of the land. Now, of course, the Bible teaches us that we ought to obey the law of the land. Romans chapter 13, beginning with verse 1 and through about 5 verses, makes clear that this is the case. But there is also a modifying statement in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, which makes clear that we are not to obey the government in anything that is wrong, that is, that violates the will of God. And so it is simply not so to say that whatever the Bible teaches, or whatever the legal law is, whatever the civil government says, is what we must obey. For we must obey God rather than men, Acts 5:29. But our time's gone for today. I'm so glad you've been with us. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you, is my prayer.